Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of the Refresh Podcast. I could not be more excited to be with you guys today. Man, it is June already, and that is absolutely crazy. That means that the year is at a halfway mark already, and it's really hard to believe. But, you know, I know that we've had a very challenging year so far, and that it just seems to keep getting worse and worse if we were looking at it with the naked eye. But, you know, I want to just encourage you that to remember that God is not surprised, and that He is still sovereign, and He is still on the throne. And I just remind you that unity is so important, and that division is an attack of the enemy. So let's just go ahead and open up in prayer, and we're going to get started with today's message. Father, just thank you so much for this amazing time that we have together. God, I pray that you would use this message to encourage us, Lord, to challenge us in our lives, Father, that you would use this word to equip us and to make us stronger, God. Father, the revelations, Lord, and the teachings that are found in this podcast episode today. God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you, Lord. Father, I love you. Father, we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. So today we're going to talk about birthright. Yeah, that's right. We're talking about birthright. And this is going to be coming out of Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. And I'm going to read them for you. This is the New American Standard Bible edition, the NASB. And it says this: when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, so of what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First, swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Wow. There's a lot going on there, guys, so we're just going to go ahead and just take some time recapping here. First and foremost, Jacob and Esau are twins. There are children of Isaac and Rebekah, and so Esau is the oldest because he has the birthright. And so we see Jacob here, he has a plan to deceive his brother Esau. So this was a scheme that was thought up by Rebekah, because God had told Rebekah that Esau would be the one serving Jacob, because the youngest would be over the oldest. And we'll see this play again later in their lineage, in the time of Joseph, where Joseph has a dream that all of his family is going to be bowing to him, and he's the youngest, and you know, they're all you know, he's got some older brothers that are like, "Hold up, swoll up," you know, like Pastor Amanda would say. But, you know, check this out, guys. So first and foremost, Jacob had a plan. He was going to deceive his brother Esau. So since Esau was the oldest, he had a birthright, and Jacob wanted it. So what is a birthright? This word denotes the special privileges and advantages belonging to the firstborn son. He became the priest of the family, and the firstborn son would receive a double portion of the paternal inheritance, meaning his father's inheritance and everything that his father owned, he would have a double portion of it. So let's talk for a moment the differences between Esau and Jacob. So first and foremost, obviously it's Esau is the oldest and Jacob is the youngest. So there was a comparison in the kind of men that they were. Esau was an outdoorsman. He had favor with his father. He was his father's favorite. And I know that parents, they don't like to play the favorites card, right? Like if a parent has multiple children, they try to have an equal amount of love for their children. But right here, biblically, it tells us that Esau had the favor of his father because he was a manly man. Everybody say it together, ready? A manly man, right? The manly man. He was the Old Spice man. No, I'm kidding. he was a manly man, so that means he was an outdoorsman. He would hunt, he would work on the land, he would work outside. But Jacob had a preference to be inside with his mother. See, Jacob was a mama's boy. I know, this says a lot, right? Jacob was a mama's boy, and you know, so apparently he was a beast at cooking lentil stew, you know. I mean, I guess it was to die for. So it says in scripture, it says here that Esau comes home from a long day at the office, and the scripture says he's famished. And now I know, once again, you cannot see me, but I'm doing these little air quotes. He's famished. So famished means extremely hungry. Have you ever been famished before? It takes me back to the times where I would be in school and I would avoid eating in the cafeteria, you know. And so I'm a very picky eater, and so like I said, okay, so I'm a very picky eater, right? And there would be like a small portion, a small variety of stuff that I would actually eat in the cafeteria. And so while I was in elementary, I just kind of tolerated it. I traded food off to my friends so that way they can have a double portion of the foods that I did not eat. But whenever I got to junior high and high school, it wasn't mandatory to eat. You know, nobody went up to you and says, hey, did you eat today? It was an optional thing. And so that was cool. But I would always, as soon as I get home, I would always go to the fridge and just raid the fridge and eat everything inside. I would be famished, you know. And I can even see that in my adult life sometimes when I'm not eating at work and I get home, or I go to Chick-fil-A and I order that 30 count nugget and I smoke the heck out of that thing. And you know, I mean, that's why I'm fluffy, but you know, it's because you're famished, it's because you're extremely hungry. So Esau comes home and he says, come on, Jacob, let me have some of that red stuff, let me have some of that stew, man. I am extremely hungry, I've not eaten all day, I'm starving, man, my stomach is talking to me, bro. Like, come on. Because you know, let's be real, guys, this is a conversation right here between brothers. So you think about a conversation you would have with your brother or with your sister or with a sibling, because, you know, obviously a brother and a sister is your sibling. So you think about a conversation you would have with your sibling, and you just replace the names of Jacob and Esau with you and your sibling, and you imagine for a moment what that conversation would look like. And Esau's right here and he's saying, oh, come on, Jacob, let me have some of this stew, man. I am hungry, I am famished, I am starved. And I am extremely hungry. And it says that right here in the scripture that for his name was, it says, therefore his name was called Edom. And so if you translate the word Edom, Edom means red, because Esau had like red hair and red skin. He was a ginger. But you know, there's something interesting I want to point out to you right here. Whenever he says, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there. So he doesn't call it stew, he calls it red stuff. And so with him being red, which is in him, you know, it's almost like he's calling dibs on it. Like, oh man, I'm starved, I'm hungry, I'm calling dibs on that. Please let me have some of that. Come on, you guys know that you've called dibs on stuff before. I have had times where my mom had cooked some burgers and I had called dibs on it, and I'd be thinking about that burger all day, and I get home and it'd be eaten, and that'd be the saddest thing ever. But this is what Jacob says to Esau. He says, first sell me your birthright. And you know, Esau's like, are you joking? Come on, man, I hadn't eaten all day. I mean, what use will my birthright be to me if I'm about to die? Come on, man, are you serious? What you need? And he's like, well, you know, I mean, if I die right now, I mean, I'm not gonna get any use out of my birthright. I mean, I'm gonna die and the birthright's gonna go to you. I mean, I'm not gonna get anything out of it, see, if I'm about to die. And then, you know, Jacob says, you gotta swear to me first. Swear to me, take an oath with me, that you're gonna give me your birthright. And it says that he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob began to feed his brother. Man, he said, you gotta pinky promise me, man. You can't go back on your word. Sold, bro, I'm hungry. Now, a lot of you, you're probably saying right now that there's no way, absolutely no way, that you'd be willing to sell your birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. But, I mean, you never had Jacob's Lentil Stew. It's to die for. It's pretty legit. I'm just kidding. But, you know, check this out, guys. This is something that is super important. A lot of you are saying, man, there's no way I'd give up my inheritance. There's no way I'd give up my birthright for a bowl of stew. This is silly. But a lot of you are doing it every day, every minute, every hour, every month, every year, every moment. Your birthright. See, your birthright originally was a double portion of torments, a hell on a one-way ticket, but then they paged your name to the front desk and they mentioned that there was a destination change for you, that there was a flight change for you, and a fellow by the name of Jesus Christ was willing to swap seats with you, and now you're bound for a new destination, which is called heaven. You are heaven bound. See, there's been a revision of your birthright, that originally your birthright was that you deserved hell, that you were inheriting hell, but there was a revision in your birthright. We've been called to sonship and daughtership. In Colossians, it says that he rescued us out of the dominion of darkness, and because of that, the enemy hates you. He is afraid of the authority that you possess inside of you, and because of your new family name that has been attached to you, and every moment possible, he is scheming ways to get you to trade your birthright to him. So what comes in your birthright package? What is included in your birthright? Peace is found in your birthright. And when the enemy comes to get you to steal your birthright, to trade your birthright, he wants you to trade your peace. And we see this right now going on in our world. And I'm really not going to get political here, guys, but if you just even look at the news, if you even just look what's going on right now, there's such a lack of peace, and we see all this chaos, we see all of this anarchy, we see all of these people that have responded in anarchy. There is a lack of peace, and the enemy comes to steal our peace when he wants us to trade him our birthright, guys. There is hope that is found in that birthright that we have in hope. We have a hope that is an anchor for our salvation, guys. That we have a hope that Jesus Christ is going to come back for us one day. That we're not stranded here. That this isn't the end for us. That when we're believers and we belong to him, this isn't the end for us. But heaven is our end goal, is our finish line. That's where we're going. Security is found in our birthright package, and he comes and he wants us to trade our birthright to him because there's security that's found in that. And if the enemy can have you thinking that you're not in a place of security, that you have some insecurities, and you begin to feel some sort of way to where you're not secure, then you're going to start looking for security in other things. You're going to start looking for security in your job and in people and all of these different things. And what happens when you lose your job? Where's your security? What happens when that person breaks up with you? Where's your security? What happens when, you know, what are you putting your security in? And when that security runs dry, what happens to you? You know, there's sober thinking that is found in our birthright package. And whenever we're sober in our mind, it's so much easier to put up a fight. It's so much easier to put up a defense against the strongholds and against the temptations that come against us. But you know, it's in those moments of weakness and vulnerability, whenever we're lacking sober-mindedness, whenever we're lacking the sober thinking and the sober comprehension, it's when we begin to compromise. It's when we begin to be brought to a place that we're feasting on all of our insecurities and the lies of our mind, and we begin to feed ourselves lies and tell ourselves that we're not good enough. Eternity is found in our birthright package, that we are guaranteed eternal life whenever we step into that place of our birthright, and the enemy wants to take that from us because he doesn't want to suffer on his own. He wants somebody to suffer with. Friend, do not be the one that suffers with him. Don't do that. Don't be deceived. Do not give up your identity that is found in your birthright package. Your identity is found in Christ. That if any man is a new creation, the old life is passed away, and behold, the new has come. You have to stand on that promise that you're no longer accountable for who you used to be, but you're identified in Christ. You know, it's time to stop identifying yourself based on, you know, all of your failures, all of your shortcomings, all of the times that you fall short of the glorious standard. You know, guys, that is why Jesus came to die, because we would never fulfill that standard of the law on our own. We need Jesus because that's the only way we're gonna get through it. There's strength that is found in our birthright package, and the enemy wants us to trade the birthright to him, because then it takes away our source of strength, and then we're weak, and in our weakness, you know, he takes advantage of us. But we know that the Bible says that in our weaknesses that God is made strong. Man, what a birthright package. No wonder the enemy wants to deceive us in the trading our birthright to him. You know, Satan wants you to trade your birthright so you're left without all of these qualities, these precious gifts from your Father, these double portions for just for a moment of pleasure, for a moment of satisfaction. You know, Esau acted like he was never going to eat again. And you know, we tend to act the same way when the enemy comes to tempt us to trade our birthright for a moment of pleasure. Keep your birthright. Don't trade it for a moment of satisfaction. You will get past this, friend. Let this be of encouragement to you today. Maybe that's you. Maybe you traded your birthright. But you know what? Today is time to march to the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from you. You know, don't become a victim. Don't become the person that is without your birthright because you sold it for a bowl of stew. Guys, it's time that we take a stand against the enemy and against sin and against the dominion of darkness. This is our birthright, guys. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to encourage your people. God, I pray that you would just begin to move in such a powerful way. God, I thank you for the opportunity to just ponder on this story of these brothers. Lord, help us not to be deceived by the enemy when he comes to offer us something that we have been wanting in place for our birthright that you have for us, the inheritance that is found in you. God, I pray that you would bring a renewal of strength, Lord, that we would place our security in you. God, I pray that you would just help us to, that you would just help us to take better care of the things and the gifts that you've given us, God. God, I pray over my brothers and sisters during this time. God, I pray that you would just clothe them in your peace, God, in your righteousness, Lord. Help them to know that you are their source of strength, and without you, there is no other. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you the highest praise because you're so good. Lord, let this word be something that resonates with us. Lord, let it take root in our hearts. Lord, let it be something that is archived in our minds, God. Father, we love you. Father, we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast. This has been Refresh Podcast with your host, The Muffin Man, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. Guys, I love you so much, and I cannot wait to be back with you for another amazing episode. Guys, have a good rest of your Monday, and God bless.